sitting. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Roger Quindale. And you know, Roger, I can't see you as a guy who watches Fox News. Do you? Ever?
I've done it just to kind of keep.
Yeah. So I do.
I read the stuff.
But I do daily.
I do read what they're.
So I watch them daily. There's a guy named Pete Hegseth who's on, and he has his own show. Now, you often hear people talking about how smart and how brilliant the Fox News hosts are. And so they give this guy all of this airtime. He's on a lot of their different shows, and he's supposedly a bright guy. But listen to this. Fox News host Pete Hegseth mocked a colleague who speaks two languages, and he suggested that patriots only know the American language. This is what Pete Hegseth said. He's a patriot. During an appearance on Fox and Friends, anchor Bill Hemmer revealed that he plays golf and speaks German. After the discussion with Hemmer, co-host Steve Ducey tossed to Hegseth, who was covering the primary elections from dinner in New Jersey. "I don't play golf and I don't speak German," he said. "So Bill Hemmer has both of those on me. Yeah, it's true. I only speak one language, American." Hedges said.
"I don't even know what we actually speak English."
So, Roger, do you know anything about a language called American?
Yeah, I don't. It's just this whole thing about, you know, we just, everything we talked about today, you know, it's like we have this private ownership of the wealth. They get the wealth of it, and all of the ill effects go to everyone else. And then we fetishize it as it's a violation of your rights, because just because we have 250 times the gun death rate of other countries or 500 times as much, that doesn't mean anything. That's not important. That's not, you know, this is America. We believe in gun deaths.
So this is
America. We believe in $300 billion in injuries a year from gun deaths, in medical costs. So, and then you turn around, how about, you know, free education for kids who can't afford it? "Oh, no, we don't have the money." So they have no money that's socially useful, but they have plenty of money for those. And nobody's talking about taking away your guns or taking away your health care or taking away these things. What they're talking about is making sure that they're not ripoffs. Hey, do you have, I've been involved with both the private sector with my insurance policy and the VA. So the other day I had to, I'm facing, believe it or not, I'm facing two surgeries that are related to my service in Vietnam in the end of July. I mean, think about it. 54 years later, I'm having surgery for what happened to me. But I had to be sent to another hospital to do a piece of it. And they sent the VA a bill for $445. And the VA said, "Yeah, we'll pay $43.54. And they said, "Fine." So if I didn't have insurance, it would have been $450 for this minor little thing. And because the VA was paying, it was less than a tenth of it. And that's the system we have. You don't have insurance, we're going to soak you. We're going to make you give us all your life savings, et cetera, et cetera. And then we're going to bankrupt you. But if you have insurance, not so much, you know. And what kind of a system is that?
Well, you know,
the
Roger,
cost of things ought to be the cost of things.
You know, Roger, the conversations that we're having right now are the conversations that all Americans need to be made aware of. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Far-right gun group warns supporters to prepare for battle at the U.S. Capitol if there's a compromise bill on gun rights. Listen to that.
But even
this group, this
gun
Roger, rights. They warned that they're going to be back at the Capitol. And
we're going to be the Proud Boys again.
Okay, so Roger.
You know,
Roger, so this whole thing that happened January 6th is an embarrassment to this nation that they haven't done
they
what they should have done.
Accomplishment.
Roger, that the government hasn't been able to do what it should have done to break the backs of all of those people who did that. To keep, and we know who was at the root of it. And yet here we are just beginning to get into what took place.
That's right. It takes us a year and a half, and we're
how
still
is
not
that?
There.
How is that okay?
It's just astounding. But it's because the people who are really running this country are not your elected officials. They're mostly stooges, not all, but quite a few of them, are just their puppets for the masters. And the masters, but the idea, okay, that's bad enough. There's wealthy people everywhere who do good things, who don't do good things. But in this country, we have given them extreme rights. The idea that the gun lobby is considered really like sacred, that we can't have any regulations like we had from 84 to 94, or there was a waiting period for guns, there was this, there was that. How can you buy an automatic weapon that's been used in wars, that is the primary weapon for our U.S. military for 50 years and the modifications to it, and you can just walk in and buy one and make some little tiny modification? You can buy automatic weapons. You can buy machine guns, basically. It's like crazy. The vast majority of people aren't saying confiscate all guns. Nobody will have anything, this and that. But how do you feel safer when these people are armed to the teeth everywhere?
So Roger.
Killing innocent bystanders everywhere.
So
how is that good?
So how is it good that this far-right gun group warns supporters to prepare for battle at the U.S. Capitol if these laws are altered for guns? Shouldn't there be something, a price that they should pay for, again, based on what happened in the past?
They ought to pay the political price of, we're going to pass sensible things. We're not going to allow automatic weapons to be sold in our country and treated like this is some deer hunter. What deer hunter is going to get 400 rounds and put 400 rounds in a deer and then eat it? Unless they like to eat metal, you can't do it.
Well, listen.
You just can't. There's a turkey. Let me blast him. And now there's 48 rounds.
Well, but Roger,
I mean,
you already know.
This stuff is crazy.
You're a military vet. You know what the purpose of that ammunition and those guns are. So on Monday, the far right American Firearms Association, how many different, they've got the NRA, the American Firearms Association, they've got the good guys, all of these things, sent a call to action to supporters, urging them to do everything in their power to stop an emerging compromise on gun safety that appears to be taking shape in the Senate.
It's the most minimalist thing. It's like, you know, and we have all these people who turned 18, buy a weapon, and then use it in mass murder. You know, there's a whole bunch of them. And you go like, it's hard to fathom on any rational basis why there is this thing where anything that regulates it, you can't drive a car without a driver's license. You know, in this state, we still don't force people to have insurance, even though you're supposed to, and have license plates on your car. I remember when I moved from Milwaukee to Boston in 1973, I could not drive my car until I had license plates and insurance. Couldn't drive it. If you got caught with Wisconsin plates and they thought you lived there, you are going to be a huge fine. You had to go down and get your prove you have insurance.
So, Roger, I know that's freedom of speech, but what the American Firearms Association is saying, that their members should be potentially engaging in a battle all over the Capitol complex. This is out there.
Yeah.
The fundraising email flagged by Jennifer Bendry of the Huffington Post claims that we fully expect our system to be attacked by nefarious left-wing actors who want to shut our systems down. So Roger.
Yeah.
These people.
It wasn't the left.
No, I know. I know. But my point is, they. Anytime you say you're from the left, they will scream and yell and holler and say you're the enemy of this nation. You're the enemy of the people, because everything the left does is take away our individual freedoms. And yet,
right, like giving you the freedom of having, believing that you ought to have health care, everyone should, that everyone should have access to higher education, that everyone, you know, we're the only country that I've done a lot of research on it, the only developed country I can find, I can't find another country where the funding for education isn't uniform and nationwide, and it only varies on local cost or something, but it's not like some places spend four times as much as other places because they have wealth. And we have these little enclaves. Here's where you get a good education. That's for the rest of you. But we're the only country like that. And we think it's normal. It's so abnormal. We're the only country with mass murder.
Hey, Roger,
all the
Roger,
time.
Roger, hold that
and
thought.
You think it's normal.
Roger, hold that thought. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
Sitting on a darker bay.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Roger Crandell is my guest, and I'm glad he's here. Roger, how did all of these things happen where Republicans have been able to control the narrative on all of these things? Where were the Democrats? We've seen this happen. And it's not getting any better. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. And yet what they are proposing for this country is going to do turning back the clock on everything. And yet there are people who still are buying into all that foolishness.
We're the only country of the Democrat, our European allies and many other countries where elections, where you have this rigid system and you need a super majority and all, but everywhere else you get elected, there's often multiple parties and you win power and then you get to run the government and you do what you said you'd do. And if you don't, you lose power, but you implement things. We run elections, and the winners don't get to do what they want. They don't get to do what they'd say. Because if we had, and the opposition often gets to say insane things that make no logical sense, like we're somehow that we're taking away your guns because we want there to be no automatic weapons sold to people who don't have a legitimate use for them, or we don't want young kids to be able to buy guns, or we don't think you should be able to buy 1,000 rounds of ammunition or just go to a gun show without any, you have background checks except for if you don't want them. So who uses the don't want them system? So we have all that. or we think having health care costs four or five times higher than any other country in the Western world. And yet we have a life expectancy that's dramatically shorter than anywhere else. So we lead in all kinds of things, but we don't get the power, doesn't give you power. You know, so you just gives you, you get to appoint people. You know, we have a Supreme Court that then all of a sudden decides that something that's been legal for 50 years, or, yeah, 50 years, is no longer going to be legal. And you go like, but you didn't say that. You said just the opposite when we took testimony from you, et cetera, et cetera. So lying is okay. If you're going to the highest court in America, in the U.S., then lying is perfectly legitimate. How does that make any sense? But we don't have a government that gets to really govern, and you can blame the Democrats, but they're not really in charge, you know, because we're in charge by the minority of Republicans.
Oh, okay, so
they're the minority, but they're not willing to bend because they know, well, in 4 years, we'll take over, and then we can do whatever we want.
So Roger.
And I don't know what they do.
So, Roger, you are as American, a believer in our country and the Constitution as any person that I know, and proud to be an American. But when you see now the fact that the way the elections are set up, Donald Trump is right that there's some rigging of, you know, our government. But it's not because of poor people who go to the polls and vote, because they're doing everything within their power to take that away. But there's rigging in our government, the way these elections are running. The person who gets the most votes is not winning the way they should. And yet you see those things, and we're encouraged to keep doing this and keep voting. But you see there's something going on in the process that is crooked. And so Donald Trump is pointing out that, well, you know, it's the people who volunteer their time, and that's basically what is happening. You spent many years doing that, Roger. They're not paying you guys handsomely for doing that job.
Yeah. But what's really, like, even that, it's like you think I'm going to go to a, you know, I'm a floater, so if they have a problem or someone's not available, they'll stick me and I'm in charge. I'm the whatever they call me, the chief. I'm out in Western Milwaukee, and the vote was 60-40 for Biden, you know, at the end of it. So you assume with the 18 people who work there, that a certain percentage of them have to be Republican.
Trump supporters,
can't be like, because they're from the and Trump supporters and all that. But we work together, and we have, I counted 64 things that have to match. You run tapes in the beginning, tapes at the end, everybody signs off, you count every ballot, they have to match exactly, the paper ballot has to match what the machine is. You know, we put a guy in charge of, Gableman in charge of investigating, and the idiot didn't understand, he wanted the machines. And if he would have just talked to me for 3 minutes, I could have said, one, the machine is empty once I pull the computer chip out of it. There's nothing in the machine. There's no information in the machine. But it's so he didn't bother to do a five-minute read on how things work, but yet he's going to investigate the election and get paid $700,000. I would have investigated for a lot less than that, and I would have done it accurately. But that's beside the point. But the stupidity that I would commit felonies in front of everybody, we're all there till the end. You know, we all have to sign off on this paper and this and every voter card and all this stuff. And, you know, and yet they malign the electoral process. Or then you have places, I have all the people I know that live in Austin, Texas, for example. Austin, Texas, with 4.5 million people, so they should have 5 or 6 congressional seats. They get one in the center of it. And all the rest are carved out like a giant star some of the districts go 200 miles away to give them enough rural voters so that they can lose all these other elections for Congress by, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 points. But a star, you know, so how does that make sense? That the voter was, so now you have, if you're a candidate, you got a campaign over 200 miles away. I mean, but that's considered legitimate. We make a mockery of everything we say in this country about democracy, about freedom, all this stuff about responsibility, and we just make a mockery of it. And I'd like to hear from your listeners, if they disagree with what I'm saying, tell me what it is, and we'll talk about it. Because I can disagree without being disagreeable. I won't yell at them. I won't bark. I won't hunt you down. I won't put a death notice on your head because you disagreed with me. But I just think, to sit there and malign, we have electoral flaws. There's no doubt about it.
Hey, Roger, we got to go to a break.
We're all a bunch of
thieves. Roger, hold the thought. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number as we await the phone call from the governor this morning. It's a great honor and a privilege to have the governor of the state of Wisconsin on the line, and as promised, right on time. Good morning to you, Governor Evers. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm very good. Very good, Earl. And Earl the Elder, as I understand. You're part of the voices of the elders.
Governor Evers, you being an elder yourself, you're not an honorary elder. You are an elder. And so you can join us because you're just at the right age.
Yeah, that's a great theory. But anyway, thank you for all that good work you're doing. I'm really excited about the resources we're going to be able to provide to folks this summer to keep young people safe, doing something productive, earning money, learning about jobs. But also mainly making sure that what they're learning is something that's going to be value to them, very valuable to them. So I'm very excited about the program, and I wanted to thank you personally for your elders are doing, the voices of the elders. That's great.
You know, Governor Evers, it was a thought that I had as I was watching these young boys stealing these cars and got really sick to my stomach, and I said that if we can't stop boys 10 to 15 years old, Governor Evers, from stealing cars, then what is it all for? What are we doing? Yeah. And so I was waiting on others, and the idea came to me that men of your and my generation are the ones who have to give guidance and direction to boys. That's the way this is set up, right?
Right, exactly. No, that's exciting. I mean, everybody's, thinking about summer, how it might be a difficult time and all that. And, we have a lot of young boys coming out of COVID-19 world and learning at home for, part-time during this last year and the years before that. So, yeah, there's been a lot of stress on everybody, and the youth of Milwaukee really need some guidance. And so whatever happens this summer, I know it's going to be a real positive.
Well, you know, Governor Evers, first off, government has stepped up. The mayor of the city of Milwaukee, Cavalier Johnson, has certainly kind of led in making this dream become a reality. The Employ Milwaukee, I can't say enough about Employ Milwaukee. I can't say enough about MPS. I can't say enough about a lot of people and average people who have stepped up and realized that we must change this. You know, we can look at everybody else and people say law enforcement and all of those things, but it's really the everyday citizen who has to play a role in making things better. You keep getting, you know, hits from people saying that, you know, well, we need more law enforcement, more law enforcement, more law enforcement. It's not always that.
Right. Yeah. And on top of it, we provided a significant level of money on issues of violence in the state of Wisconsin, including Milwaukee. And $100 million is a chump change. And the police, and some of it went directly to the police department. So if they wish to expand their services, it's within their ability to do so. So, yeah, I understand it's politics is silly season, but at the end of the day, we have stepped up. We provided some resources and some significant resources. You know, the federal funds that we've had have gone for all sorts of things, and there's obviously a real important one is to help people in Milwaukee and our other parts of the state recover from the pandemic, and a lot of that has to do with public safety, violence prevention, victim services, all those things we've invested in.
You know, Governor Evers, if it wasn't for Governor Evers, you have, ever since you've been where you are, been at the vanguard of fighting people, unfortunately, who are in government who don't see it through the lens that you see it through. And and so when we began this quest of talking about this, my thing was, when you and I were kids, you know, did you have a paper out?
Yes.
I don't know anybody from our generation who didn't have one. But it taught us so much. It taught us work ethic. And that was the way our society was set up, to give us those life lessons. And those are no longer there. And so that's what we've got to do, is we've got to give young boys and young girls life lessons, and especially learning the importance of work ethic. And so that's what's at the root of this. And then at the end of it, once they receive an award for doing what they're doing, and they get their name on something and there's pride, they'll never go the other way, you know, because you and I and our generation, that's what happened with us.
That's right. Yeah, we had adults in our lives that made a difference. Absolutely, yeah. And you had mentioned the Milwaukee mayor. He's been very clear around this issue too, and is a great partner, and you know, demonstrating a commitment to young people in Milwaukee, and that's our future. We've got to make sure they get there. There's a lot of violence. And we, you know, not only do we need them to get there, but we need to have them there with the right value system.
You know, Governor Evers, you and others have made it possible that these 200 boys, we guarantee you, they won't be involved in stealing cars. They won't be involved with sticking guns in people's faces, because they're going to understand the pride that one gets when they're given opportunities, and the importance of and the value of learning and earning. And the earlier we can get that lesson taught to young boys, the less we're going to need law enforcement officers, right? I mean, it really does make sense that the earlier you catch young people, the less, and give them opportunities, the less you're going to need law enforcement on the other end. Because when you and I were young, we saw that. There wasn't as many law enforcement officers around the country when you and I were young as there is now, because opportunities dried up in the society.
Right, absolutely, and learning those skills that those 200 young people are going to learn this summer really will set this. You know, it could very possibly set the stage for the rest of their lives, and having them be successful, and frankly, when they're elders, they can return the favor.
You know, Governor Evers, I know you're busy. I know you have to go. I thank you from the depths of my heart. I thank you, and I'm speaking for all of those children and their families for the opportunities that they are going to get that will, as you just stated, will impact and affect them for the rest of their lives. And from everything that I'm hearing, it's a beginning. And yeah. that we may see, you know, other young people who are going to get the opportunity to participate this in the years that come. Thank you for thinking absolutely. About these children in our city, and congratulations on being the kind of person that you are.
Well, thank you, Elder Earl. I appreciate your good work. I appreciate your good work, and keep it up, and let's stay in touch.
All right, we will. Thank you very much. That's the governor of the state of Wisconsin, Governor Evers. And, you know, it does matter who's in office. I mean, it certainly matters who's in office. And people can say whatever it is they want to say about that man, Governor Evers. But I can tell you that I am blessed to know him from the inside out and not from the outside in. And you can't find a more genuine person than Governor Evers. And it's because of the kind of a man he is, and not because of the support that he's going to be giving to these children and their families. I'm not saying it because of that. I'm saying it because of every move that he makes. It's from the perspective of what's in the best interest of all the people. Okay? And not what's in the best interest of the people who have all the gold. And so that's why I say he is as good a person as you're going to find anywhere. We need him. Our state needs him. Our state has been blessed since he's been in control of it. And we got to make sure that he stays where he is, because, you know, it's only been a few years since we had Scott Walker. And we know what that was. And now that there's a man with compassion and vision enough to say that the people should always come first, we got to do everything within our power to keep him there. Governor Evers, thank you. And during this election season, this microphone is always open for you at any point in time. But thank you. It's good to be able to say not only are you the governor, but it's good to say that you're my friend. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, You can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sam, who do we have on the line?
Ron from Milwaukee.
Hey, Ron, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Oh, good morning. Well, I don't have a lot on my mind today except there are two things. One is two great guests today. I know Roger Quindell, and he's so knowledgeable and so active in the community, and he's got a world of experience, and he just makes a great guest.
Yeah, he's another friend of mine, but go ahead.
And the governor. I mean, Governor Evers is, you know, he's getting dumped all over the place, just like Joe Biden, for all sorts of problems he supposedly created. But I think he's just diligently doing his job and saying, you know, he's a modest, very straightforward guy. He's not your typical politician. He was a school teacher, and he comes across that way. And I think people perceive that as weakness. But I perceive it as, you know, he's like a Dwight Eisenhower. You know, he's a father figure. But there was the other thing I wanted to say was, I think you've arrived. And the reason I say that, Earl, is because now, recently, you seem to be getting more and more calls from these conservative Republican trolls. And that tells me that they've noticed you. And that's a good thing. I mean, they give you grief. But and I imagine some of them are from the Waukesha area because of the, you know, the right. Radio station beaming from Waukesha. But I think it's a good, and you handle things well. And I think you're within your rights to, you know, lose your temper a little bit with them when they just try to talk past you or change the issue to something else when you kind of pin them down. But more importantly, eventually, at least some of those people are going to listen and they're going to get it. You know, they're not, they may be hard cases and they may be trolls, but some of them are just citizens who have been taught a lot of other stuff from other sources, and they're listening to you. And I thought, it's the long game, history, you know, the long cycle of history. It's it bends towards justice slowly, but it bends that way.
You know, first off, Ron, I'm honored that for anybody who takes the time out to listen to me, because I'm nobody special. And I'm your average guy who's been given an opportunity to do radio. And so, you know, I'm not a guy who's been trained in radio. You know, this is just a blessing that I get. But the fact that you would call in and share your thoughts really mattered to me. But also when others, even conservatives, call and chime in. Because I'm not your average radio talk show host. You know, this is not about me. And anybody who listens to me over the air will notice one thing. He's not on there just talking about himself. He's not on there just talking about how great he is. I think good radio is having guests on, interesting people, and allowing the listening audience to weigh in. I could come in here and talk. My wife will tell you this. She can wake me. You can wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'll talk from now until 10 p.m. It's just who I am. But that's not what I think makes interesting radio. And I've listened to talk radio for almost, I'm 67, soon to be 68. I've listened to talk radio for over 50 years. So I know what I think makes sense, because I know what I used to like to hear. I mean, I got to tell you, I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh when I was, 20 years old, 21 years old. So I've listened to talk radio. You are right about the fact that, and unlike, I don't know if you're aware of it, but I used to call Charlie Sykes, Mark Belling, Jay Weber, Vicki McKenna. I used to call those people almost daily. This is how I got into talk radio, doing what people do when they call this show. And I would trouble them constantly. And somebody said, hey, I think you would make a good talk show host. So I became a fill-in. And as they say, the rest is history. But it is because of the dialogue, give and take, Ron, that I think makes good talk radio. And I don't lose, if you've listened to me enough, I rarely lose my composure or cool. But when you get a guy who keeps disrespecting the fact that we allow everybody on the air and they're going to control the narrative, we're going to talk about what they want to talk about. And that would never happen on conservative talk radio. First off, they get their 2 minutes. If they got that, they would be screened, and then maybe they wouldn't even get on. We don't do that here. Not just me, but no show on these airwaves do that. That's what makes this radio station and the Devils different than any other, is that we welcome differing views.
Well, it comes across to me, and I have had a little bit of experience in radio and radio announcing, but it comes across to me, the station and your show and the other guys I get a chance to listen to, as authentic. I mean, it's more of a conversation, and dang, that's what we need in this country, more conversation, a lot less pontificating. And, you know, you listen to me, and I listen to you, and then, you know, we do it again.
Yes.
Not this, you know, I've got these talking points, and I'm going to get through them, and if you say A, I'm going to say B. It's like, it's not a debate. It's not a formal debate. And it's a good thing for them, because if there was a debate referee scoring these guys, you'd throw them out. You know, he'd say, you just changed the subject. You can't talk about it. You just uttered an ad hominem and diss this guy for what he believes. That's not a formal debate. You're out of here. Luckily, you know, you ultimately, I think you're pretty good at talking him down or letting him say things and then moving on to the next thing. So I'm belaboring the point, but I just want you to know I appreciate it.
Hey, Ron, I'm honored. Thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. For all of you, you know, every time I come in here, I understand the gravity of it. The fact that somebody believes enough in me, the owners of this radio station, to put me before this microphone and the listening audience, as vast as it is, and does not tell me what I can talk about and what I can't talk about, and has enough faith and trust in me that I'm not going to say something that's going to cause them to lose their license. And so that's where it is. Now, you know, had they caught me early on in life, it might have not worked. But they've caught me at a time in my life where I know who I am. And I know what is important to me. It's what's important to the average person, because I'm an average person. And so that's what this show is always going to be about. It's always going to be about what's in the best interest of the average person. There are enough radio stations and channels and television and all those things that are there for the wealthiest amongst us. What we need is more stations and more conversations about what's in the best interest of the least of these, my people. Gotta go. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll return on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.